I think he said I had an hour to give my lesson. And I wait a minute before anybody panics. It's only 55. This morning I want to talk a little bit about cleaning the inside. Have you ever known or seen someone that took a bucket of water, soap, or rag, and cleaned the outside of their car? And we probably all of us have done that at one point or another. But did we not also, after we washed and cleaned the outside, did we not open the door and start cleaning the inside? What would you think if you seen your neighbor out there washing and waxing his beautiful car, and you walk over there to admire and to let him know how great a job he'd done in cleaning the car up, and then he opens the door and McDonald's cups and sandwiches and french fries and falls out? Y'all don't have cars like that, do you? If you got french fries in your car, get a little dog. He'll take care of it. People are often concerned about outside appearances, especially that they are viewed as, quote, morally upright. Today's morals are subjective, meaning what's moral today may not be so tomorrow. Or what's not moral today, tomorrow it will be. But these people that view themselves as being upright and moral, but even when they look, or you look deep down, they're not moral and they're not upright. Jesus warned of cleaning the outside without cleaning the inside. The scripture that Brother Mike read a few moments ago, Luke chapter 11, verse 37, and through, I think, verse 40 or 41. The Pharisees were often guilty of looking religious, pious, upright on the outside. But yet, what does Jesus say they are? Let's take a look. Matthew 23, verses 25 through 26. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and the platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Most of you here, probably not everybody, like to drink coffee, don't you? Do you rinse your cup out when you get done drinking your coffee, or you just set it back on the counter and let it turn all yucky on the inside? You know, I've seen coffee cups that I wouldn't drink out of. They may be clean, but they don't look clean to me. Appearing righteous, but full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. That's what Jesus says in Matthew 23 and 27 and 28. He says, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like unto whited sepulchres, whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but what does he say is inside of it? Full of dead men's bones and uncleanliness. Now, I don't know about you, but if somebody had said that to me, I would probably get pretty offended. Well, who are you to tell me that I'm not a good, moral, upright person? Jesus had no qualms to tell these Pharisees exactly who and what they were. In reality, they knew what they were. But yet they wanted everybody to see how religious and righteous and pious they were on the outside. Appearing righteous and full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. Now for us today as Christians, how do we avoid hypocrisy? How do we avoid lawlessness, sinfulness? Well, you all probably know the answer. We need to clean both the outside and the inside. We cannot leave the inside full of dead men's bones and uncleanliness. In order to be able to do that and to succeed in cleaning the inside, it begins with conversion. All right? It's that simple. It begins with conversion, being born again. You know, Jesus taught the necessity of a new birth. John chapter 3 and verse 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." We all know who Jesus is talking to here. Remember Nicodemus? And then we also understand that this new birth involves the Spirit and water. Look at John chapter 3 and verse 5. Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." You know, Nicodemus had a misunderstanding. Yeah, I'm an old man. How am I going to go back into my mother's womb and be born again? Jesus had to explain to him that it is a different type of birth. Look at Titus chapter 3 and verse 5. Titus writes here, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done." In other words, you can't work yourself into heaven. You don't have the power to do that. You do have the power to be faithful to God's word to the best of your ability. But your good intentions, you know, being clean on the outside, is not going to get you to heaven. "Not by works of righteousness which ye have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost." But it also, it not only involves the new birth, it not only involves the Spirit and water, it also involves God's Word. Notice James chapter 1 and verse 21. "Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness," in other words, an exorbitant amount of, a large over and abundance of naughtiness, sinfulness. All right? "Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. Brothers and sisters, it's not what I have to say. It's what God's word says. That's what saves us. That, along with the new birth and the spirit and the water and the word of God, is what helps us to clean the inside. Without the new birth, without the spirit and the water, and without God's word, then we'd be just like the Pharisees. Whitewashed sepulchers. Whitewashed tombs. Full of dead man's bones. But not only being born again, but it's that of obeying the gospel. The word which causes rebirth is proclaimed in the gospel. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 22 and 23. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love to the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Being born again. Remember what Jesus told Nicodemus? You must be born again. Not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. And then we can read about the word which causes a rebirth to proclaim, or is proclaimed in the gospel. 1 Peter 1, 24 and 25. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Being born again, obeying the gospel. The gospel is the good news that Jesus wanted everyone to hear. Mark 16, 15 and 16. He says, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Why? Why will they be damned? Because they did not believe. They did not believe. There is a message, including faith, repentance, and baptism. Obeying the gospel, the word which causes rebirth, is proclaimed in the gospel. The good news of Jesus, that he wants everyone to believe and to be baptized, to be saved. And then there's a message, including faith, repentance, and baptism. Notice, with you, if you will, Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. You all know this verse. If you don't, you should. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Excuse me. And then in Acts chapter 3 and verse 19, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, cleaning the inside. When the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And then in Acts chapter 8, verses 35 through 38. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me? What does hindereth me to be baptized? And what's Philip say? And Philip said, If you believe with all thy heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then notice what happened. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. He went down in the water, baptized him. And then the eunuch went his way, and Philip went his way. When did the cleaning the inside take place? While he was being taught? Or after they both went down into the water and Philip baptized the eunuch on his confession that Jesus Christ is the living Son of God? When one obeys the gospel in faith, repentance, and baptism, their sins are washed away through the blood of Christ. Do you believe me? I have proof. Acts 22 and verse 16. Ananias to Saul, who became the apostle Paul. And now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. That's how I know. Because of what Ananias told Saul, to be baptized and to wash away our sins, to cleanse the inside. It's not only through conversion that a person cleanses the inside. It's also through sanctification. We can't just stop at baptism. We can't go through our entire life without putting something new in what's been washed away. We have to put off the old man. Take your Bibles, open up to Colossians chapter 3. We're going to read some verses there in a moment. We have to put off the old man. Sanctification involves becoming holy, meaning set apart. This requires serious addressing those things which defile a man. Eating bugs, does that defile a man? You know there are people that eat bugs. Have you ever tried deep-fried grasshopper or crickets? It's a thing. No, not me. Mark chapter 7, verses 20 through 23. And he said, That which cometh out of a man that defileth the man, that which comes out of a man, for from within, out of the heart, of men proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within that defile a man. It's not the dirt that we have on our body. It's not the insects that we eat. But it's what comes out. And I guarantee you, if I was eating a bug, there'd be a lot coming out. This is an ongoing process for Christians, putting off the old man. Colossians chapter 3. Start reading in verse 5. Mortify. That word there literally is to put to death. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when you lived in them. You know, Paul here is saying, do you remember? You remember when you were all these type of people here? You lived in these terrible things. But now, Paul says, but now ye also put off all these. Put them off. Don't. These are the things to get rid of. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Jew or Greek, Jew, circumcision, nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond, nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Putting on the new man. We got to put off the old. And Paul just listed here all the things that we should be putting off. It's not enough to get rid of, simply to get rid of the old man. We must replace it. Notice Matthew chapter 12, verses 43 through 45. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and findeth none. Then he said, I return unto my house from whence I came out. And when he is come, he findeth it empty, swept, garnished. Then goeth he and taketh with himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be also unto the wicked generation. We must replace what is taken away. We are told here in chapter 3 of Colossians, we're to take off all of these things. We're to put them to death. Fornication, uncleanliness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, idolatry. All of these things we need to put off. We need to put off the old sinful man and put on the new man. Now, notice what we find in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 22 through 24. That you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Now let's read Colossians chapter 3, starting in verse 12. Put on therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do you. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of God, Christ, dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in grace. Well, I think I need new glasses. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. When we get rid of all of the sinfulness and the stuff in our lives that we are to get rid of, what should we be putting back in? The fruits of the Spirit, Galatians 5, 19 through 23. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. When we get rid of all of the old sinful stuff, these are the things that we should be putting back in, so that we can be the new man, the clean man, inside and out. Are we clean on the outside while we're dirty on the inside? We need to look to Jesus for true conversion. Let us not be like the Pharisees, whitewashed tombs full of dead men's bones and uncleanliness. Let us be washed, truly washed, by the blood of Christ, for the cleansing is outside and inside. This morning, if you're here and you're not a Christian, Jesus died on the cross. He shed his blood so that you might have the cleansing that can only take place through baptism and the washing away of sin. If you'd like to be baptized, would you come? Or if you're here and already a child of God, but you see that perhaps you need the prayers of the saints, would you come also as we stand and sing the song of invitation?